Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Last season, over 10% of all English players to feature in the Premier League hailed from one small corner of the UK, South London.
I think it's just something about South London, everyone loves football there.
I'm proud to be from here.
I don't know what it is, the vibrancy of the place, and why so many people come from such a small area. I'm very proud of that fact.
Can run in behind now. Does he have an option in the middle? Does he need one? Picks the pass perfectly.
The diagonal ball for Hudson-Odoi can bring it out. Brilliant track back. That's a magnificent goal.
And Callum Hudson-Odoi, who has yet to start a Premier League game for Chelsea, comes on to make his England debut.
It's the swag, and that's a big thing in South London.
Zaha, who gets it onto his right foot and shifts it into the corner past Etheridge and gives Crystal Palace the lead.
Manchester United have signed Aaron Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace for £50 million. The South Londoner arrives at Old Trafford after a stunning breakthrough season at Selhurst Park.
It's Lundman inside the penalty area. It's 4-0. What a way to mark your debut in the Premier League.
Play with flair and play with no fear.
Lovely ball to Loftus-Cheek. This will finish it. Loftus-Cheek scores. It's 2-0. Off the bench to put Chelsea into an unassailable lead.
Why can't I see Loftus-Cheek play a lot more? What a beautiful footballer.
Jordan Jarrett Bryan here, football-obsessed radio journalist and proud South Londoner, born and raised in Brixton. I want to know why my manor has now emerged as one of the most prolific breeding grounds for elite young footballers, not just in the UK, but in the world. Jadon Sancho, Joe Gomez, Reece Nelson, Ademola Lookman, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Wilfried Zaha, Tammy Abraham, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Trevor and Nathaniel Chalobah, Ryan Sessegnon, Joe Aribo, Patrick Roberts, Jake Clark-Salter, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and I could go on. All of these players and more hail from south of the river. And while these boys represent the new generation, the original Don of the South is without doubt Arsenal legend Mr. Ian Wright. So perhaps he can answer the question.
I don't know what it is about South London, but then even if you go back, like even off of my estate, there was me, David Rowcastle. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is in respects of the what's in the water in South London.
The water, bro. It brings the water.
So many people has come through from South London. But I think that South London, it's just a hotbed of football. Everybody just played football and wanted to play football. And you know what I mean? So many good players just come out of South London. I could not put my finger on what it is because I'm sure that if you speak to people from Newcastle, then Newcastle will say, oh, there's so many people that's come from Newcastle. But I'm talking about a little place like South London.
Yeah, because we had players
that went all the way.
So why is South London churning out so many talented players? Football choreographer and former pro Andy Ansah thinks the answer is simple.
It's just a love for the game. I mean, my son's 25 now. He was at Arsenal. He still plays. Like the other day, he was with Alex Iwobi, all those guys. They're still playing. They come over to South East to play five-a-side football. So everybody wants to play. And it's a South London thing where it's almost like it's a leveler. It's a level playing ground. And that's a place where you do become the man. It's by playing football amongst your friends, you become that person. There's a huge respect that comes with playing football from South London. When you look at players like your Ian Wrights that have come through, they still hold, really, they're so monumental in South London for these kids. They're iconic, and some of these kids have never seen Ian Wright play, but they watch videos, mm-hmm. and they still worship these kind of people.
Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson grew up in Croydon, just like Palace youth products Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Wilfried Zaha. But for the former England boss, it's about a mixture of talent and opportunity.
I'm not 100% convinced that there's something particularly in the air of South London which gives you a better chance to being a footballer here than if you were growing up, you know, in areas of Manchester, Liverpool, Newcastle or Birmingham. I do think that the conurbations in the country where there's a lot of people, a lot of kids growing up, obviously dreaming of being footballers, being introduced really to sort of street football or playing in those cages where they sometimes play, where it's not structured in any way, it's just a question of enjoying the game and getting a feel for the ball and honing the basic skills, is an important factor. I think an even more important factor, especially for us here in South London, is the vast number of clubs and the quality and strength of their academies and their scouting system. So it's, you know, if you've got any sort of talent whatsoever these days in an area around where we are, the chances are you're going to get given a chance. Someone's going to pick up on you and invite you to be a part of their academy and so on. So I don't know that there is one very simple answer to the question. It's an interesting fact that there are so many of them.
I just think the diversity within South London, you know, in terms of migrants that come over.
David Powderly, former youth coach at Charlton, now with England.
The school that I worked in predominantly were Afro-Caribbean, you know, and that's just the makeup of the boys. So when you have these type of diversities coming into your areas, that's only going to have a knock-on effect. The fact that they're in South London and they're on, you know, not on the streets in terms of walking around, but in terms of playing football in cages, playing football on the road, mm-hmm. and in parks. And I still see it. You see Peckham, like the light is darkening, yes. But they're still playing.
Yes, yes.
And you know, there could be 30 players on the pitch. And that means when you get the ball, it's not about trying to score. You want to stay on the ball for as long as possible.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of environment that breeds these players coming through.
Former Palace owner and entrepreneur Simon Jordan agrees that cultural diversity certainly plays a role.
South London has a uniqueness about it because it's very melting pot. There's a mixture of ethnicities. If you look around, certainly where I grew up in Thornton Heath, I grew up in South Norwood, literally 100 yards away from Palace's stadium. So, you know, I grew up in an environment where multi-ethnicity was at the centre of it, whether that was blacks or Asians or whatever creed or colour we want to talk about. But it made me grow up and have a feeling about different cultures and different ideals and different values. But it also made it a melting pot mentality. I think it made it quite competitive. Obviously, at my time, when I had Palace, I spent a lot of time in the youth system and wanting to see our youth system really patronise young talent. And, you know, you saw players like Wayne Routledge and John Bostock and Nathaniel Clyne coming out and going on to be, you know, certainly in the instance of Nathaniel Clyne and Victor Moses, of course, that have gone on to be players on the international stage. But I do think at the centre of the excellence that comes out of South London is multi-ethnicity. And I think there's more multi-ethnicity in that part of London than there possibly is anywhere else. And I think there's a great deal of talent in that community.
For Daily Mirror football writer Darren Lewis, the question is less about culture, more about class and an understanding of the boys in that area.
I think the first place that comes to mind straight away is the Michael Calvin book, No Hunger in Paradise. Because in that book, he talks about Afiwi, and it's a South London team that is run by a number of dedicated coaches who understand not only the talent that those kids have in that area, but also the social circumstances that they're battling against as they try to fulfill that talent. And they work incredibly hard to get those kids to realise what they have and how they can navigate a way through their circumstances. I think it's a misconception to assume that all of that is exclusive to black children, because I think there are lots of white children who have those circumstances in South London as well.
Grealish with a free kick, whipped into the near post, and headed in by Tammy Abraham for 4-4!
Four goals on the night for the England star.
Tammy Abraham is on fire.
It's everyone wants to play football. Everyone wants to be a footballer. You know, all your friends just want to play football. So, you know, when you have the opportunity to actually become a footballer, you know, you have to grab it. And I think it's just something about South London. Everyone loves football there. Luckily for me, you know, I grew up with the likes of Jadon Sancho, Reece Nelson, you know, so playing football was everything for us, you know, just rushing back after school, just to take off the uniform and to kick a ball on the road, you know, it was so exciting, you know, that's definitely a childhood memory I will always have in my heart, you know, where I started, you know, just started playing football on the roads, and now I'm here, you know, I'm very grateful, and there's a lot of talent in South London. As you can see, a lot of players making it out of South London, so hopefully that keeps going.
Tammy Abraham, England and Chelsea star, who grew up just round the corner from where I went to school in Camberwell. Obviously proud of his South London roots. Still to come on the South London Talent Factory, we'll get real about what it's like growing up in this area and how that kind of environment can impact a young player. This is TalkSport.
See, back then I was bumping cabs. South of the Thames where I come from's mad. Done some dirt and I ain't too proud that you living on a road where your son got stabbed. Man, I had you in a station, your son got nabbed. Tough luck, just mums, no dads. And we all know growing up in London's mad. Mummy ain't never seen 100 bags, so let them all know that my mums, he's glad.
Head to the box for Zaha, who gets it onto his right foot and shifts it into the corner past Efferidge and gives Crystal Palace the lead. Here it's Sessegnon!
This is the South London Talent Factory on TalkSport. I'm Jordan Jarrett-Bryan and I'm on a mission to find out the reasons why more than 10% of English Premier League players are coming out of my area, South London. Growing up in South can be tough. The two boroughs with the highest rates of gun and knife crime in the capital are Southwark and Lambeth. More than one in three children born in the area grow up in poverty, but from a sporting perspective, the area's thriving. Perhaps there's a link we need to explore.
I mean, all over London, we know there's a issue with knife crime and stuff like that, but I think South London probably has it at a bigger degree.
South Londoner Gavin Rose is the manager of Dulwich Hamlet and is all too aware of the complexities of a world where crime and football live side by side.
These boys will be growing up alongside friends who maybe ain't gifted at football, maybe didn't get the opportunity to shine at football, and they're on the street. Mm-hmm. But they're actually their mates.
Yes.
And the hardest thing that you've got to do as they grow is to probably separate from them, because they have to take their football seriously. But the truth of the matter is they're still hardened like their mate who's on the street. The environment of South London definitely toughens them up, because they might go to the professional club, but they come back to the estate. And you have to survive.
Yes.
When you come back.
Yes.
On that estate, you have to know where to go, how to be. You even need to put on a brave face sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you're not really about all of that.
Yes.
You know that you need to put on a brave face to be able to be fine and go in and out of your house.
Sure.
Safely. Do you
sure.
know what I mean? They're individuals, but they're like clones. Sure. Of people that you've met over the years. Obviously, they've got their own identity, but there's so many, like, their backgrounds are similar.
Yes.
So you can go, you know what, I remember him 20 years ago. Sure. He was like this. I remember this guy, he was a bit... And it might be just confidence. It might be very rough around the edges. It might be... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Totally.
But they're all very, very similar. So that tells me that from South London, there's a certain... The environment is moulding a certain type of individual.
And the answer knows this all too well.
I had a South London still about me that no matter how small I was, I'm not letting nobody take a liberty with me. And I think that's another thing that is ingrained in these South East London kids, because they still got to walk South East London away from the football mm-hmm. pitch. And that, what you don't realise is you're training for your future every day. This is, I'll give you an example. People say to me, oh, when you was young, you was fast. I said, you don't realise I trained every day. They said, what do you mean? I said, back in the day, me growing up in South East London, police used to stop you all the time. It was the days of SPG van. Mm-hmm. So I was training every day. Yeah. I'd walk backwards. I'd be running every day.
I shouldn't laugh, but it is funny.
It's the truth. Yeah. I trained every day. That's why I'm quick. And I also knew if a policeman came to stop me, he's never going to catch me because I'm gone. And that, I haven't done a crime. I could walk with three of my white mates and three of them would be, the police would stop, they'd be, you guys stand there, they'll search me, because it was a stop and search law,
mm-hmm.
not have nothing, say, go on, carry on now. And three of my workmates would just stand there.
Mm.
That's what I was going through.
In former England and Premier League striker Darren Bent's experience, a challenging upbringing south of the river made for a stronger, aspiring player.
It's funny, because when I moved out of London and went up to Cambridgeshire, these Cambridgeshire kids were looking at me like, oh, well, we can't be better than him.
Okay.
Like, do you know what I mean? Because obviously I had that confidence in myself. As kids growing up in South London is hard. You need to be able to look after yourself. You need to be tough. And I think that's why when you play against these teams, from these boys from South London, they've got this kind of confidence because they're really battle-tested and such, you know what I mean? So they've really got that over us, where mm-hmm. obviously come from Cambridgeshire, which is obviously quite a soft area.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? Ipswich Town is not known for being a quite a rough area. But when you go to South London, you're talking about Croydon, mm-hmm. Brixton, mm-hmm. Peckham, these players here, these are all battle-tested already, so on the pitch it made a massive difference.
And the answer, now a football choreographer working with the likes of Ronaldinho, Ronaldo and Rooney, recognises a similar mentality in many of these South London boys as he does in the elite.
I went to shoot Jaden when he got in the England squad, the first England squad. So I shot him training, then sat down and done a talk with him, to film with him. And Jaden, mentally, is strong. What's really interesting about the South London kids like Jaden, like Aries Nelson, is that they all possess a mindset that I see with the best footballers in the world, with the Ronaldos, the Wayne Rooneys, and that's a single-mindedness, a confidence, not an arrogance, a confidence which they'll put out there knowing that they can do what they say they can do.
Former Palace striker Clinton Morrison certainly backs it up.
I always remember when I was 16 in the YTS at Crystal Palace and I was in the youth team. And we had a youth team game in the morning, scored a hatchet. And then we always used to have to go do first team duty. So imagine we're in the first team dressing and we're sorting out the kit. And just before the game, I'm saying to, who was it? Bruce Dyer. He was the first £1 million striker at Crystal Palace. And I'm saying to him, and he's going out to play a game, I scored a hat-trick today. I'm coming for your position. And I said it in front of the manager and would say it to the manager. And that's a young boy who's 16, really and truly. I'm playing YTS, but I'm saying it to a first-team professional who they paid £1 million mm-hmm. for. And but that's the confidence I had in myself. I believed in myself that when I go on there, I've got confidence and I'm going to produce. And in the end, it kind of worked out for me.
Having a strong mentality is all well and good, but to make it all the way to the top, you have to be able to ball. In the densely populated area of South, lacking green spaces, where do these players go to hone their skills? The answer is the cage.
It gives us something to do when we're younger, going playing football in the parks or cages and stuff like that. It just gives us something to do as well when we're younger, so keeps you out of trouble and stuff. So that's one thing that helps massively, just the cage football, like your friends going down to the parks and cages just playing football.
Jay Clark Sorter there, England under 21 captain and another one of my South London boys. But why all the fuss about cage football? I'll let Andy explain.
Like, for me, it was everything. I grew up on a council estate in Lewisham called Caldwell. And literally, the cage was 10 yards from my house. I'd be in there in the morning from 9, and I wouldn't get until 8, 9 o'clock at night, I'd go in. And it was all about being that showman in the cage, being the one. And even when we played multiple games, like 3-on-3, it's all about twisting people up. And what cage football does is it gives you that chance to actually home in your skills in tight spaces and have loads of touches. And what's moved on from the cage now is these goal centres. It's just a modern version of the cage. And if you go in there, you'll see to what hour you see these kids playing. And it's just an extension of what I grew up with on my council estate. Mm-hmm.
Clinton Morrison, who grew up in Wandsworth, still has love for the cage.
But the cage is the boss, because if you're not good, there's some boys that would try to come into the cage that weren't good enough, and they were told nicely. Well, I'm trying to be nice here, but they were told, don't come on here again, mate. You're not good enough. When you come back and practice, then come back into the cage. So the cage was the one where you had to come and, you know, bring your A game.
If your
A game weren't correct, then you might as well leave it. And I've seen certain men come to the cage and look at their feet and go, I don't think you're going to be about it. You can't be coming to the cage in your Timberlands and stuff like that. We're playing football out here. So in that case, you might as well leave.
Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson appreciates its value as well.
I know of it, and of course I relate it to what people did, you know, in my youth, which was, you know, street football, when you could actually play on the streets. And I'm certain there'll be a lot of similarities, where basically you just picked up, you know, if it was five, you played three against two. If it was 10, you played five aside, and you just played, really, you know, chalking goals on walls. I think there's a lot of that, of course, that people will do here in the South East London area, by dint of the fact that, you know, we don't have the greenery, we don't have other places to go. But I wouldn't think that's purely London. I would think that would be the case in Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, Newcastle, etc.
Roy's right. These goal centres, power leagues and cages have popped up all over the country and on the continent too. So while they might go some way to explaining Zaha and Sancho's skills, it still doesn't tell us what's so unique about South London football.
They might have scored 3 or 4 goals, but when they're walking home or they're on the bus, they're thinking, "Rah, look what I've done. Do you remember that skill?"
Yeah.
So it's that kind of feeling, and they're always trying it. They're free to do what they want.
That was David Powderly, England youth coach. The nutmeg is king in the cage. If you ain't trying to embarrass your opponent, you ain't getting no stripes out here. For Randy Ansar, that flamboyance is what South London's all about.
It's the swag, and that's a big thing in South London. And this is what when we started this conversation, I think when you get onto the football pitch, it's a level playing ground, and it's a chance for you to show what you can do and stand out. And there's a massive respect and appreciation for ballers in South East London. Mm. No matter what age you are, there's a huge respect that comes with it. Huge. And I think that's another thing that drives these South London kids to be the best on a football pitch. I'm working at the moment, like I said yesterday, with some 14-year-old kids, and what they're doing with a football is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's unreal. This is why every club in the country is setting up satellite centres in and around South East London, or got scouts around there trying to get these kids and give them an opportunity.
Former Palace chairman Simon Jordan.
There is a certain ambition and fast way of thinking and fast way of talking. I'm a South London boy, take of that or make of that what you will. And I had ambitions, and I wanted to get away from South London to some extent. I wanted to be successful and move away from South London. But you never, you know, you take the boy out of South London, and you never take South London out of the boy. And there is something unique in all aspects. And when you produce this level of talent in football, and I feel that it's flair that comes out of South London. Flair and creativity is at the centre of it. And that must be something to do with the melting pot that South London is.
And here it goes well beyond the style of football. My boy Joel Bayer, fellow South Londoner and founder of digital media platform Cheeky Sports, caught up with the enigmatic Ian Wright to talk swag.
How would you define South London swag? Because you got your own thing going on, do you know what I mean? These days I've been rocking the same ratty hats as well here and there. You know what I mean? I can't lie, you know what I'm saying?
Even this, I've been wearing one of these hats since, I would say, I can't even tell you when. I remember watching those blaxploitation films way back in the day. Remember when Michael Jackson's album covers came out, Michael Jackson was wearing the eight-piece kind of like Baker Boy hat. I've been wearing one of these for ages. And when we was growing up, dressing right and looking right was paramount. That is one of the things that when you're younger, if you didn't dress right or it came wrong or you just got the Lois jeans or the Wrangler jeans or something just a little bit later than it should have been there, man, you got killed, you got caned. And it was something that as I've grown older, you know what I mean, I wear what I want, and I tell that to my girls as well. Put whatever you want together, but I came from a time where it had to be put together properly. My uncle Charlie wore a 3-piece suit with the chain, tie, the hat with the feather in it every Sunday. In respect to my uncle Charlie, that was pimpish, bro.
That was
that was some pimp swag.
It was pimp swag, bro.
Absolutely.
I feel like South London hasn't had it for a long time. I remember growing up and looking at East London and thinking, you lot got it. Like, I always used to, like, all the MCs were there, and being a young MC from South, like, all the young MCs from East were always getting a look in over anyone else because they had the Wileys, the Dizzy. So I feel like now that we're the front runners, like, it's a dream. It is a dream, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a beautiful thing, man. I'm very happy
South
right
London
now.
Orientated,
South London
oriented.
South London, all day.
That was Croydon-born rapper Stormzy, who recently became the first black solo artist to headline Glastonbury. And for Woolwich-born MC Boya D, the South London swag is just as evident in our music.
At the end of the day, I just feel like it's the same hustle. For years, people have said that, you know, if you're like from the hood, the only way out was sports or entertainment.
Mm.
And I wouldn't even say that was just synonymous with black kids. I mean, if you're working class, that was the dream, to get out for you. Music was in the top two. Football was the other one. Mm-hmm. In saying that, that creative element, it filtered through into the football, mm-hmm. from the music. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way we kind of did music, even if you look at the rap battle culture came from the hood. Do you know what I mean? If you look at the majority of battle rap rappers, they're just thinking about beating their next man, embarrassing the next man, yeah. on stage in front of a crowd. And that's what it was. And the cage was almost a metaphor for the hood. We're all boxed in. Like, how am I going to get...
I want to get out of here.
I need to get out of here. And how am I going to do it is by getting past you. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's where you learn that kind of mentality. So rap battling is music, but yeah. it's not music.
Yeah.
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
it's like you're taking a skill set and isolating it, which is what I guess we did in the cage.
South London is also home to gold medal winning sprinters like Dina Asher-Smith and Adam Jamili. And that swag and steel is obvious in a long line of brilliant boxers from the area, such as David Hay, Chris Eubank Sr. and Dylan White. It's perhaps no coincidence either that a World Boxing Council initiative has recently been established in the heart of South London at the Fitzroy Lodge Gym in search of the next South London world champion. So Joe Bayer caught up with one of the area's brightest prospects, the British light heavyweight champion from Croydon, Joshua Buatsi.
I think for me, I look around and I think there's a lot of talent in South London. There's a lot of people that are doing well in South London. And you tell yourself, what's different from them and you?
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no difference. Like, they're from the same area. They've made the most with the opportunities that they've got and where they're from. Do you know what I mean? So for me, I don't say to myself, I don't know, like, he's got 100 million in his bank, so of course he's going to be successful. No, I say actually he's on the same area as me, went to a normal public school like myself, found what talent he or she is good at and what have they done with it. So the same applies for me. Like, I found the talent that I feel I've got and I have to make the most out of it. We've grown up in South London, you're right, we've been through the grind, we've seen things, good and bad things, but it's all molded us to be this person that we are today. And for me, like I said, there's no difference between myself and other successful people. So that's how I see it, man.
Still to come on the South London Talent Factory.
We are areas where people are more hungry for success than others. We have exactly the same phenomenon in France.
This is Talk Sport.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Flicked back by MacArthur. Zaha! Wonderful Crystal Palace goal. Magnificent work. But it's finished off by Wilfried Zaha.
I've got 5 brothers, 3 sisters. So, yeah, it was very tight and no privacy, ever. To be honest, having a crowded house was actually fun. The funniest thing, we really didn't need much back then. Obviously, the luxuries are nice now, but we didn't need much. We'd play Maracana, basically make goals. Yeah, 4 goals with like 2 bricks or something. Like one here, one where Jordan is, one over here, and then like one here. And the game is to basically try and get each other out, basically. So you have to kind of...
And it was this close?
Yeah, it was mad tight. See, this is what I mean, like you need skill. Yeah, to play these type of games, like, trust me. So you have to lure, That's no offence to you.
No, it was a dig,
it was a dig.
Wilfried Zaha there speaking as part of Carling's Made Local campaign, which is about supporting people who are making a positive impact in their local communities. I'm Jordan Jarrett Bryan, a South London native, trying to find out how the area where I grew up became the new hotbed of English football. To get a better understanding, perhaps we need to look beyond South London, to other parts of the world known for producing large numbers of elite footballers, the most recent being France.
For the second time, France are top of the world. They are the 2018 World Cup winners.
It was over a decade ago that Arsene Wenger singled out the Parisian suburbs as the world's next great hub of footballing talent, following in the footsteps of Sao Paulo in Brazil. So we asked him if he'd noticed any comparisons between South London and Paris.
If I understand well, you would say to me that there are areas where people are more hungry for success than others. And I say yes, it is that. And we have the same, we have exactly the same phenomenon in France. In Paris, 60% of the players come out from areas in Paris where you have more immigrants than in other areas, because there are, it's a way to be successful in life. Sport is a way to be successful in life. But as well, what we talk about here is sport is only based on merit. The only social activity where if you're good, you play, you know, no matter where you come from. No matter what's the name of your father, if you're good, you play. And we have to continue to encourage that, and that's why, that's certainly the reason of your explanation.
In fact, the Ile de France, as Greater Paris is known, probably produces more talent than Asia, Africa, and North America combined. Last summer, Greater Paris accounted for 2/3 of France's World Cup winning squad, including the likes of Paul Pogba, N'Golo Kanté, and Kylian Mbappe, not to mention this summer's African Cup of Nations winners, Riyad Mahrez and Yassine Brahimi. Another graduate of the Greater Parisian Ghetto, former Premier League striker Jeremy Aliadier, thinks the similarities are striking. Joel Bear went to meet Jeremy and asked what it was like growing up in Rambouillet, just south of the centre of the capital.
We call it Cité in France, Cité. Which is like where you've got obviously big building and, mm-hmm. and you know, and then we all... Like, we're all a big family, kind of, you know. Yeah. All the moms and dads know each other, and, mm-hmm. and we all kids play with each other. The older kids, the younger kids, whatever. It's all, you know, all a big community, kind of. And I felt he kind of helped me in a certain way, because I'd basically, you know, like hundreds of brothers and sisters. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they were all like family. Go and knock on so-and-so's door.
Yes.
Let's go and play. Who's got a football? Let's go and get him because he's got the ball, you know? And it was, that's how it was. We didn't have, you know, football pitch. All we had was just one football. That's all.
Really?
Yeah, that's all, man. There was no football pitch, no goals, no nothing. So we would play on, you know, on the concrete, on the sand, whatever was around, you know, we would just create a pitch. But on that pitch, mm-hmm. like I said, you would have curb, sand, a swing. You would have all sorts of things, you know, that normally kids play with, but we used to just
use them as obstacles or whatever.
Yeah, I see, exactly.
Sounds familiar, right? Gavin Rose reckons the link between these areas is obvious.
There's something in common, is poverty. kids can go one way or another, but we've heard the stories about these boys from Brazil. Their living environments are terrible, much worse than South London, and they play on, you know, concrete pitches with bare feet for a passion. And I feel that's one thing as well that gets misaligned, is that the passion from a boy from a poverty background can't be matched. Like, it's almost like, this is my ticket to get out of here.
And you ain't taking it from
You're not taking it from me. And now it seems like the lines are a bit more open in terms of the FA and that. They're opening the doors now because they realise, look, if we don't take these sort of boys, below that, we're not going to have any talent.
But is that true? Are these young players now being looked at differently by those within the game? And could this actually explain the high number of young players from the area now making it right to the very top?
London's burning and no one seems able to bring it under control. As night fell, a huge blaze lit up Croydon in the south of the city, and it spread quickly with no sign of police or firefighters in the vicinity. Earlier in Peckham, a line of police officers charged up the road to disperse those who'd started a blaze so that fire engines could get through to fight the flames.
You've got young people that got so much bottled up inside of them that they're using this opportunity to let off. It's horrible out here. It's like a war zone. It is nasty out here.
Harry Hudson is the founder of the Kinetic Academy, established in 2011 following the London riots. It's largely funded by an educational grant and proudly boasts 37 pro deals in the last 6 years, including Joe Aribo, who this summer joined Stephen Gerrard's Rangers from Charlton. For Hudson, the South London footballer has always provided coaches with an extra and sometimes unwelcome challenge.
A lot of the old school methods of coaching were very autocratic and were based around the coach having all the answers, and that immediately sets the environment for the session and for the interaction with a coach and a player. If the coach wants things to be very orderly, very structured, for him to have the answers, they're not going to want any type of wild card in there, any type of threat, any type of risk towards that order. And young players from South London do have a swagger, do have a confidence, will test coaches. And a lot of coaches don't like that because it affects their ego, potentially questions their place in the group. Couple that with them, a lot of ex-pros, when they retire, they go straight into the professional development phase, so the 18s, 23s, which is the business end of football. Those coaches repeat what they were taught, repeat what got them success when they were a young player, and that now is typically 15, 20 years ago. That view of player development and how we approach coaching and coaching as a methodology 20 years ago is so outdated. So yes, they can do the courses, but fundamentally there needs to be a blend of how players transitioning to become coaches and how that can help the next generation of players coming through. And I think that's highlighted with the South London boys and their temperament and their personality.
And the answer would have definitely challenged a few coaches back in the day.
I was so determined, not many people know this, that I wasn't prepared to sign a YTS. I signed as a professional footballer for Crystal Palace at 17 years old, but I was at Charlton from 11 up to the age of 17. But my drive was just to be a professional footballer, and I didn't want to be the guy that cleaned boots and everything like that, so I stayed at school.
Was that an Andy thing, or was that a South London boy
thing?
That
was a South London boy thing, because cleaning them days, when you cleaned, you cleaned. You cleaned the tiles. People would rub their hand across something and say it's dirty. You actually cleaned everything. And my Southeast London street stuff was like,
nah,
I ain't going to clean people's boots and clean, get on my hands and knees and clean things with toothbrushes.
I'm good enough to play.
I'm good
sign
enough
me
to play.
Or don't. Yeah.
You sign me or you don't. I'm staying at school. I stay in sixth form. I didn't even finish sixth form. I stayed at sixth form till March, which was when my 17th birthday was. I carried on playing for Charlton. And then I went on trial at Palace and signed pro.
But maybe we've just lucked out on a special group of players who just happen to be from one area. Has the talent really always been there? Darren Lewis from the Daily Mirror.
Oh yeah, the talent was there for sure. There were a wealth of players. The problem back then was that they were seen through one dimension. Strong, athletic, on the positive side. On the negative, they weren't seen as leaders. There was this ludicrous misconception that they couldn't cope with the cold. There were lots of players who were determined to put on performances in the cold weather to prove those stereotypes wrong. They paved the way for the current players now. They broke down those barriers for the players now to be able to go out and express themselves. When I go back to the start of last season, I remember the documentary that I took part in, Out of Their Skin, which highlighted the kind of, I won't dress it up and be diplomatic, the players back then had to deal with horrendous racism, and it broke some players. And there were players in that documentary who openly admitted that had they gone through some of the stuff that players like Paul Canneville went through, they would not have survived in the game. So it took a special kind of courage and character. And not all of the talented players of the day back then survived. Some of them walked away from the game, stayed true to their beliefs, wouldn't just, in inverted commas, play the game. A lot of those players walked away, became agents, became coaches, or left the game altogether. And so I think it's hard to compare the footballing environment back then to the footballing environment now. It's different now. Those players owe a huge debt of gratitude to those players back then.
David Powderley, England under-16s coach, believes that football is now changing its attitude towards these young men.
What's happening now is that the decision makers are recognising, mm-hmm. well, these are the players we need to bring in. And once they're in the building, it's not about stripping that down or trying to create a next player. It's trying to harness what they have and allow that to continue. And you're seeing that those are the type of players that we want through academies and through England.
Yeah.
Players that are comfortable. You know, when they're playing against Portugal or Brazil, don't worry about that. We're good enough. You know, I'm from South London. Yeah. We got this. They don't know about us. So it's that kind of feeling that we're trying to continue.
Dulwich Hamlet boss Gavin Rose has also noticed a similar shift in perception.
In particular with the black boys, I would say everyone talks about the natural athleticism, mm-hmm. Which is obviously genetic. But I think now they've realised that the way that the boys like to play from South London, you know, there's a way they want to express themselves. They don't want to just run through brick walls. Mm. They actually want to show that they've got skills. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and now that's being matched in professional football, I feel that's just the reason why the numbers have gone up. There's been an appreciation that our country in England can produce players that can compete against the Hollands and all that. With these natural boys, these are the boys that we have at our disposal.
David Powderley again.
Who's getting through? How are they getting through? And the types of players that are getting through, they can be themselves. They can make it for how they're playing outside.
They haven't got to conform.
They don't have to conform. No. And that's the key now. If they come into our training sessions and don't feel they can do what they can do out there, it's the wrong environment. Mm-hmm. You're coming in because of that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to change that when you're in here. We just have to create the way of playing, okay, when or where to do it. But at a certain at young level, I want to see that more. Don't bore me. Even like we say that, don't bore me. You've bored me. I've said that a number of times. You're boring.
I love that.
Because
I love
like, that. You know, that's, I get excited when you're doing these things. You make the team better.
But creating an environment these players feel truly comfortable in has its challenges. Darren Lewis.
If you look at the coaching structure within English football, until not so long ago, you had to go quite high up the pyramid before some of these kids came into contact with black coaches. And so there were situations where coaches would not be able to appreciate the social circumstances around why a player might be behaving in a certain way. And all too often, with some coaches, there's a willingness to write off players. When actually sitting down and understanding, talking, learning, identifying, empathising goes a hell of a long way. And I think working with some of the coaching setups down there, there has been a connection made between players and coaches that has enabled those players to go and really fulfil their potential. You know, there's so much talent down there. We may never hear about some of them. They'll never get the limelight, never get the fanfare, but they're there. And long after these players go on to make a career, to get the top, they're working on the next generation as well.
In Andy Ansell's opinion, football has been slow to realise how important this is for young players.
What you're talking about is a bridge, and I've had this argument for years. And for me, it's one of the biggest, most important roles within a football club. Is who's the bridge? Because you can take these kids from these environments, a South East London kid, and you can take him to another environment, but what's bridging him? It can't just be playing football, because with the environment isn't right and no one's there working with him, helping him understand culturally what changes, how is he going to deliver?
Is that why you think Zaha didn't succeed at United?
I think that Wilfried went from being the star at Crystal Palace. I remember I was with him in Bangkok that first season. They was in Bangkok. I was shooting with Man United in Bangkok. I said to Wilf, how have you found it? And I remember him saying, it's a lot different. He'd just come through 5,000 or 6,000 people outside the hotel to walk in. And he said, this is a lot different. But a lot of football clubs, you sign for them, they expect you to just deliver. Not realising football, to be at your best, you have to be at peace within yourself.
Still to come on the South London Talent Factory, Joe Cole.
We stupidly thought for 20 years that the Brazilians just played, or the Spanish just played, that they were just better than us technically.
This is Talk Sports.
Hi, my name is Azar Dugba and I'm a right winger.
Because South London is such like a normally a tough area to grow up in, I think players just have that hunger and desire to like try to get out the struggle, as I can see. That hunger and desire just pushes them forward to achieve their goals. So I feel like South London have that determination to succeed.
Hello, my name is Jeffrey Oradine and I'm a centre midfielder.
Pele, when he grew up, they took, like, I can't remember what they called it, but all Jenga. The skills, Jenga, yeah, yeah. They called it Jenga. All the skills that he did, they tried to take it out of his game and try to make him, like, normal.
Traditional.
Yeah, but he couldn't take it out of his game and that's why he was so great. I think that's what we are trying to do as players as well. So we're just trying to, like, show, like, because you see Jadon Sancho in the Bundesliga right now, he's doing all the tricks and flicks that is not, like, you don't see that, you rarely see that. So that's, I think, everyone's trying to, like, be like him ever since he took that pathway.
Hello, my name is Ramon Grice and I'm a centre midfielder. When we do the safe option, we get told, like, that's boring, it's boring football. What's the point of doing the safe option? Every other team does. We may as well express ourselves. We play formation that no one else plays because, why not just express ourselves, do our own thing, to be different.
There you heard from three of the Kinetic Academy's brightest prospects, unwilling to conform, unafraid to be different, and unwavering in their belief that they will make it to the very top of the game. So what about the England national team? The likes of Sancho, Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi have already made the grade with Gareth Southgate's England. David Powderley thinks the South London swag might be rubbing off on the rest of the country.
It's interesting that you speak about the influence and you look at players that have come from up north as well.
Are they talking like South Londoners now?
I don't know about the accent.
The storms and all that.
The accent's still there. They've got the accent still. But the way they play, it's just having a knock-on effect.
Okay.
And the standard of football and the way, not just technically, but their mentality now of believing that we're best. We can take on a Brazil. We can play Portugal, France. Mm-hmm. You know, and still come out and show, not just through passion or technically.
Yeah.
We'll beat you technically.
Yeah.
Skills, nutmegs.
Yeah.
That's what we're creating now. I can't emphasize how important and creating the environment is. You know, you only have to look at generations before, golden generations, that when they go play for England, like they're nervous, they're rigid, hated it. They didn't want sitting in different areas. Whereas now, you know, everyone is creating something special within these teams that they can go and enjoy themselves rather than thinking, oh, we're away for 10 days and it's like totally, I've got to act this way. No, be yourself. So like Gareth has come from an environment, obviously come from like Palace as a youth, but the way he played the game and then how he managed has changed, even from when he went into the under-21s. And obviously he's seen what it's like abroad. And from his lens, it's interesting because he's wanting to play a different way to how he was coached. But, you know, he came and watched our under-16 game at St. George's Park against Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And he came into the dressing room and he didn't say anything, but he just, you know, he was there. And that sometimes plays a bigger part, you know, just being there. So these players thinking, bloody hell, Gareth's in there and it has that knock-on effect.
One of the most skillful players of his generation, Joe Cole.
I think all these great players that are coming out of South London and coming out of it, London in general, I think, you know, there's an element of the playground footballer that's getting into the academies early, but it's not losing that vibe and that joy of playing like you're playing on the streets, like you're playing in the playground, but they're also getting good quality coaching and getting good quality leadership and being kept on the right track. But I think the evolution of football has changed in such that these players, like your number 10s, your wingers, your dribbling, there's systems in place where centre-halves will step in, they'll take a risk and they'll pass the ball through the lines. The holding midfielders will get on the ball, they get turned and they'll pass it into good positions for then you to do your business. I think football 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago was right, we'll defend, we'll be resolute, we'll bang, bang, we'll get it forward and then once you're there, get it and do something. But now it's tactically we're much better, we're more aligned with the Latin ways. We stupidly thought for 20 years that the Brazilians just played, or the Spanish just played, they were just better than us technically. They just played. No, they had systems and passing systems and ways of moving the ball. If I would have told someone I was a number 10 at the age of 16, 17, they would have laughed at me because it wasn't really, I told people I was centre mid. Didn't say I was attacking mid because you had to do everything in them positions, you know. So I think that's where the evolution of football's gone. And I think it's positive. I think we're catching up and we're catching up and maybe you could argue we're going above these other countries we've admired for so long.
Former Palace chairman Simon Jordan.
I think that the talent pool that's coming out of South London has a certain feel and uniqueness about it. And it is, in my view, a lot of these players are offensive-minded players and flair players, but they've got more substance about them than maybe previous generations have gotten. I think there's been a talent pool in South London for some time, but I think the way this talent pool is being harnessed and the way the game has changed to embrace offensive football is giving these players more opportunities than possibly they would have had before. The way the Premier League has changed, the introduction of people like Pep Guardiola and changing the direction of travel on football has afforded talent and flair and front foot players to be given more opportunities.
But for Darren Lewis, the media have their bit to do as well.
There were lots of people within the media who had no real understanding of what these young men were going through, what their life experience was. Certainly, I've been around now for 20 years, and when I started, sometimes I'd go to games, look at newspapers the following day and think I wasn't at the same game. The difference between then and now is that if you look into a press box now, the demographic is much, it's different. There are people who can identify with the players. The people writing about footballers now, particularly black footballers, can understand their life experience, understand where they're coming through. There's much more empathy with the players now than there ever was.
Hopefully I can inspire a few young players from South London or whatever to chase their dreams or whatever, so because I'm still chasing mine, and getting this honour to captain England under 21s at this tournament is massive for me and my family, and yeah, hopefully they can do the same.
Finally, if England win the World Cup soon, whole 11 of Cockney accents.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that one, yeah.
So, South London definitely has the sauce, always has. And for Andy Ansah, who still coached a team from Lewisham in the London Youth Games, the possibilities are endless for this new generation of South London stars.
South London itself has got huge, huge things going on. And you put all those things together, you're creating just a South London beast. When you put everything together, it's just a beast. Mm. And I look at these kids and they have multiple talents. You look at their social media platforms, it's almost like it's in their DNA.
Yeah.
So they've got choices now.
There's layers to them.
They've got choices now. They're not just, I'm going to be a footballer. I'm using this to become a rapper. Mm. Or I'm going to... They're even designing their own clothes.
Yes.
They're designing their own clothes. It all comes with that flamboyance. You're looking at, back in the day, people would be like, whoa, you can't wear that. Now it's like, yeah, and yeah. I'm going to create a trend with it.
Yes.
And you put all those things together. Like, South London is having a dominance on a global stage now. There's a thing with South London. It's, what am I fearing? There's no fear. I'm living it day in, day out. So where's the fear? There's no fear. And if we can keep sort of transferring that no fear attitude onto a football pitch, man, we are going to keep producing gem after gem after gem. It's just a production line of footballers. It really is.
You've been listening to the South London Talent Factory, a TalkSport exclusive production.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions, we share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.